What is up, everybody out there? This is the Sneaks and Stats podcast, episode 61. I am EJ, also known as Sneaker Peter.
Which makes me the statistical father. The father.
Is it really you?
It's been you. Me.
It's me.
Hillary Clinton.
Really?
That would be Hillary? Crazy.
That would be insane.
Chewing
I've been doing
off the charts.
She has the plug for sure. Thank you so much for tuning in, guys. Please subscribe to our YouTube channel. Follow us on all our social media accounts, Instagram, X, Threads, and TikTok.
Yes, those are them.
Those are all of them, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we definitely use every single one, not just Instagram. Party Corner, you know what's
Party
up.
Corner is in
Party.
Full effect. What's
Party.
Up, guys? And regular.
Regular Corner.
Regular Corner. Party Corner. Thank you for tuning in. It's been a couple weeks since
yes.
we've been here.
Busy few weeks. Spring has sprung.
Spring has sprung. The sports have been sporting.
The sports are all over.
The Trader Joe
football.
Bags are out.
And they're gone.
And they're gone every day. People are going crazy here in Los Angeles. And it's heating up a little bit.
Yes, it's been too hot. But
yeah.
It's okay. It's nice in this time of the day, later afternoon. This is obviously an important time of the season. We are recording this on Friday, the 11th. So there are only 2 days left in the NBA regular season. So just so you guys know, we're going to do our best to keep everything up to date. But by the time this comes out on Monday, we probably will be a little out of date with
yes.
how the playoff seedings and everything. So, you know, give us some grace.
Yes. And yeah, speaking of heating up, the NBA playoffs are on the way.
They are on the way.
The play-in, which I know you're very excited about.
Yes.
Is next week, which will be this week. Not to confuse you guys.
It's every week. The play-in's always has been. It's never not been.
Yeah. And with two games left in the season, basically, for all the NBA teams, the standings still aren't set, bro. Such a crazy last week of the NBA. Right.
They're really not set. So the play-in tournament will be the 15th through the 18th, which is this upcoming Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And then the playoffs begin that next day, the Saturday. So the teams that are not in the playoffs, I kind of wanted to talk about this with you before we get into all the crazy possibilities, is, you know, the NBA has been getting a lot of gripe lately for low ratings and bad
yeah.
content. The
yeah.
All-Star game was obviously a disaster. I think the people that parsed it out, it was only like 40 minutes of basketball and it was like a 3-hour show.
Yeah.
And obviously during those kind of, especially the All-Star game, there's a ton of ads and game breaks. But this was like, they had all that stuff in the middle. I didn't honestly never even watch it, but they had the stuff at halftime with like Mr. Beast, I think.
Yeah.
Lots of weird promotions that just didn't need to be there. So I think the NBA has gotten criticisms that are well due. But that being said, the play-in tournament has been nothing but a huge success.
Yeah.
And I think one of the big successes that probably makes teams really want to get out of the play-in more than anything else is the week off from when the season ends to when the play-in tournament ends and the playoffs start, which I hadn't considered
yeah.
before.
I hadn't thought about that. What you're saying is if you're one, you want to be 1-6.
You're 1-6,
to get
yeah.
that extra time
you
off.
You get at least six days off.
Yeah.
Which is huge at the end of a season, because that's the one thing I think, you know, baseball has it, but I think it's pretty easy to say with baseball that the physical demands of baseball versus basketball are very different.
Yes.
Baseball teams play 2 games in a single day,
mm-hmm.
Where you just couldn't do that in the NBA. So to play from October until April and then to have 6 days off is something I hadn't thought about, but that's huge.
Yes.
Huge advantage for the teams that actually worked hard in the regular season.
Yeah, and you know, these players who have been playing who don't really load manage will take this time to get their treatment done,
yeah.
get the inflammation down, right?
Maybe and, even a tiny vacation, you know?
Like yeah.
sneaking a day or two there.
Yeah, because once the playoffs start, a lot of these players aren't necessarily with their families all the time, right? They're locked
yeah.
in, don't have
yeah.
their phone, whatever it may
yeah.
be. So this is a really crucial time for all these guys. Who's exciting to you, bro? Like, well, I mean, you have the Thunder, who have a lot to prove, I think.
Yeah, they do.
Right? Just
they've,
as much
they've
as
they proved a lot, but they still have a lot to prove in the postseason.
In the postseason,
yeah,
as just as much as the Cavs, right? You got the
yes.
young Rockets.
The Cavs have more to prove, I think, because of their chokes in the last few playoffs.
For sure. And obviously the new look Warriors look great, and the Clippers are streaking right now. So there's a lot of exciting possible matchups and teams that are just streaking at the right, or playing well at the right time.
Let's get into that a little bit. Yeah. So the East Coast, which is for at least the last 20 years been kind of the more boring conference when it comes to seeding, they're pretty much locked in as far as what's going to happen. Cavs are locked in at the first seed. Celtics are locked in at the second seed.
Yeah.
The Knicks and Pacers could swap at the 3 and 4 depending on what happens. Knicks have 50 wins right now. Pacers have 49. They've been super hot lately. And then the Bucks are locked in as the 5th seed, and the Pistons are locked in as the 6th seed. Play-in right now is already set for both conferences, but in the East, it's Magic, Hawks, Bulls, Heat, as of now in that order.
Mm-hmm.
There could be a little bit of movement. The Magic have locked in the 7th seed. They have the tiebreaker against the Hawks, so they're for sure going to be the 7th seed no matter how things shake up.
Yeah.
But the Bulls could, depending on if the Hawks lose, they could squeak into that 8th seed. The Heat, potentially, could even squeak into the 8th seed. I think they're stuck in the 10-9 bracket. I'd have to double-check their tiebreaker situation. But
it looks like the Magic are the only ones that are kind of safe at 7. But
They're going to for sure sit at 7. Everyone else is very likely to stay where they are. Yeah. But there could be small changes. But then the West, of course, is where things get super crazy.
The Wild, Wild West.
It's the Wild West.
Sorry, don't find me.
We'll talk about that a little later.
Don't find me.
The West is going to be where it gets crazy.
It's
so
a bloodbath.
OKC is locked in at 1.
Mm-hmm.
Houston is locked in at 2. And then this is where it starts to get...
Then it's a carousel.
It starts to get pretty nuts. So as of right now, the 3 through 8 are separated by 2 games.
Crazy, man.
The 9-10 play-in is set. It's going to be Kings-Mavs. Potentially, the Mavs are going to be in Sacramento as of now, but that could potentially change if the Kings lose both of their remaining games and if the Mavs win both of their remaining games.
Can you explain it real quick? Is it 7 versus 8, 9?
This is 9-10 for Kings Mavs.
So, but that's how it goes, right? 7, 8 versus 9 and 10.
Oh, yeah. The way it works is...
just for those people out there who don't...
For the plan... yeah, sorry, guys. This is really confusing. It's really fun once you get into it.
We're helping you. We're trying to help you out. Yeah.
It's really confusing. So the play-in is to get the last 2 spots of the playoffs.
Yep.
These playoffs are only the top 8 teams. Play-in expands it to the top 10, but the bottom 4 are the teams playing in to get to the playoffs. So the way it works is 7 and 8 play each other.
Okay.
Whoever wins that game is the 7th seed. So right now that would be the Grizzlies hosting the Timberwolves. And if the Grizzlies won, they would stay the 7th seed and play the Rockets.
Yes.
Which means if the Timberwolves lost, they would go to the losers game, which plays the winner of the 9-10.
Yes.
So 9 and 10 play each other. Losers out of the playoffs, out of everything. They're done. Their season's done. Winner plays the loser of the 7-8 game for the 8th seed. So... it's single game elimination except for the first 7-8 game. That team gets one shot.
Yeah.
But after that, it's another single elimination game. Winner gets the 8th seed. So I'll put up a graphic that the NBA has. It's helpful. But yeah, pretty much first 2 games are 9-10 and 7-8. And then the loser of the 7-8 game plays the winner of the 9-10 for the last spot in the playoffs.
Right.
So Mavs are the 9-10 matchup. For sure. That's not going to change. But after that, everything could change. Like, there's really, like, so many crazy options right now.
Really crazy. Hard to kind of pinpoint where people are or teams are going to end up. But this is why teams 1 through 6, you want to be there so you don't have to play these two extra games.
It is, right? I think that's what's tough, is that the NBA has been getting slack for like a long and slow regular season, but this is where the regular season does come to matter. Like, if you're the Rockets or the Thunder, you are counting your blessings that you, and the Lakers are not, they're not, there's no chance they get into the play-in. They're counting their blessings, man. They're like, thank God we've won these last few games. We're locked in. We're not going to move. But yeah, to get into the nitty gritty, the Thunder are locked in at the 1 seed. Houston is locked in at the 2 seed. The Lakers, as I mentioned, are locked in for at least a top 5 spot. But like we said at the top of this section, there's only 2 games separating teams 8 through 3 as they currently sit in the standings. So with 2 games left in the regular season as we record this, including everyone's playing tonight and Friday, and then everyone will have played yesterday from when this aired Sunday. So only 2 games left for everybody.
Right.
A lot could change in the West.
Oh, big time. Big time. Especially that's why these, you're not really going to see too many resting teams that are going
to
be resting.
No, pretty much only the Thunder, right? And the Rockets can afford to, in the West, can afford to rest players.
Yeah, because it doesn't matter for them anymore.
Yeah.
I would like to kind of compare it to the wild card games of baseball.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's another long season type of sport, and then you're down to 1 or 2 games, right?
Yeah.
So it's super critical. A lot of pressure to put on yourself if you're kind of just breezing through the season. But
breezing through the season, the slogan of the Wizards. We're just breezing through the season, baby. Just
trying to get through, baby. But again, if you're one of those teams that's really, you know, struggling, but you can get to the 7, 8, 9, or 10, the mindset is different. This is okay. We got there. Now we just got to get these games, right?
Yeah.
Out of the four, let's pick maybe who do you see coming out of the West? The 2 teams out of the West and the 2 teams out of the East.
For the play-in?
Yes.
I think it's going to be, it's tough. I don't think the Kings or Mavs are going to get into the play-in. I would give the Kings a shot against, I mean, really anybody, but I think the most vulnerable teams are teams we'll talk about in a little bit. The Grizzlies and maybe the Nuggets.
Yeah.
But that's a long shot. So the Kings have a shot, but no, my money is on 1 through 8 right now, which the bottom half is going to be Grizzlies, Timberwolves, Warriors, anywhere in that range. I think they're all going to make it in. I don't think the Clippers or the Mavs will make it in. The Kings or the Mavs.
Right.
And then from the East, I like Chicago, man. I see Chicago getting in there somehow. I mean, they have really, kind of blown things open from where their season was, at least. It looked like kind of a disaster, but Josh Giddey has been unleashed.
He's insane right now.
Players in the NBA this season with at least 1,000 points, 500 assists, and 500 rebounds. Can you name the 3? I'll give you a hint. Josh Giddey's one.
Just this season? Or
just for this season.
1,000 points.
500 rebounds. 500 assists. Which is...
Joker?
Yeah.
And how many more are there?
There's only 3.
So Joker, Giddey, Braun?
Yeah. Okay. Well, very nice. Who's the Statty Daddy now?
I am the Statty Brother.
Uncle Statty.
Uncle Statty.
Yeah, so Giddey has had an incredible season. I like the Bulls to make it into the play-in. Heat or done. I don't know what's going on in Miami.
I thought we were going to be different on the East Coast, but I agree with you on the Bulls because... seeing them against the Lakers was the only time I really got to watch them in full, and they looked
mean, man. Us. Kobe White
he's great.
Giddey and the other kid, he's got a crazy long name.
Matas.
Yes, yeah.
But I forgot his name.
Good luck.
But the B.
Go ahead.
Starts
say
with
it.
The B. Nope.
Say it.
Nope.
Yeah, Matas is dude.
He's great.
What an exciting time for Bulls fans after such a disappointing. Like last 5 years,
yeah.
Like this should be fun.
They've accumulated a good core of young guys,
and Giddey's only 22.
Yes,
like in his 3rd season. So, the time is like they have time. They're gonna be good.
Also shows you how much the Thunder are stacked because they didn't really
give him away.
That's, yeah.
And then I actually think there. Atlanta, I don't know where you think. I think Atlanta is going to beat the Magic in that 7-8 game, if Atlanta makes it to the 7-8 game. But I think Atlanta will make it into the playoffs.
Okay, so that's where we're different, because I think the Magic will be it. Franz and Paolo are pretty awesome.
They're pretty awesome. Somewhat of a disappointing season, I think.
Yeah, I think so too.
But, yeah, I don't know. Atlanta, they're like playing pros at this point.
At this point, they're kind of right about
four
that.
Straight years. Yeah. They know what they're doing.
Trey is like, I'm not scared.
I see Chicago and Atlanta in it. Red's my favorite color, so maybe that's why.
Bulls could be a little bit of problems. At least making the, if they make it and they are 8, let's say, might make the Cavs a little tired.
Right now, they could only make it as an 8 seed, but again, they could move up one slot, so they could technically make it as a 7 seed, but if it does end up that the 7-8 game is Orlando and Chicago, I think Orlando will win that one.
Okay.
That's the excitement of the play-in right there, is that I'm picking the Hawks and the Bulls, but it's truly dependent on the Bulls playing the Heat in the first round,
right.
Or the first part of the play-in. I think they could beat the Magic, but it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough for them to beat the Magic, for sure. But I still think Chicago has a pretty nice shot.
No, for sure. As all of us, we watch football, baseball, and basketball. But for some, I don't know if you agree with me on this. Do you feel like the basketball playoffs are a little bit more stressful than the other sports? Just for your own personal thinking? Just because I don't know, maybe our connection to the Lakers and the Dodgers?
I don't know, because the baseball playoffs last year were stressful. We were just talking about this with our other good Dodgers friend, that like that first series for the Dodgers against the Padres, it was like, here we go again.
That took days off of my life, man.
I do think maybe more than any other sports league, because the playoffs are so long, which I know some people have, that's a criticism for the NBA's long season, long playoffs, so many teams get in, which could be fair. I do think because every series is a best of 7, you're making sure, and especially you're making sure the best team always wins, of course barring injuries, but injuries happen, that makes your team not as good, so I still would say the best team always wins. But especially now with the play-in too, that gives teams that maybe did have injuries or had something happen mid-season, coach firing, important person dying for the franchise, something.
Yeah.
It gives them a chance to like, okay, we had this week or two where we were doing really bad because of this thing, but now we're rallying. We have a shot. Like, we can do this. So I really do think that the NBA playoffs, I agree that they are really stressful, because the level of intensity changes. Everyone talks about how the playoffs, everything slows down.
Yep.
For better or for worse, the refs call less usually. It's more physical. It's a more intense game. I would agree that they're probably, maybe, I don't know. The baseball playoffs, again, they were really stressful, I think.
Super stressful.
Just because with baseball, there's that kind of element of you can score 4 runs at once. Like, you can be down by 8, and all of a sudden you cut that in half at the blink of an eye. But I do think probably for the players overall, I think probably the NBA playoffs are, like, the most testing usually. Which, it's stressful to watch as a fan, man. Like, it's hard.
I agree with that. I think another factor, too, is if you – obviously you can't stack the rosters because they're different sports, but the Dodgers are obviously – the top tier team in their sport, so there's less stress of feeling like they can't do it, as opposed to the Lakers, who are right there with, you know, all these other top teams. The Thunder look like they're the cream of the crop.
Yeah.
So that kind of gives you a little bit more stress, because they're not the best team. You don't have that expectation to kind of win it all, right?
Yeah.
So I think, I don't know, that to me is kind of like a factor into the stress levels of the different sports too. But yeah, that playoff, whole playoff, all those series in baseball last year.
Every single Dodger fan, was stressful.
You were losing sleep. And
for our Lakers fans, though, just to address what their possibilities are, as we mentioned briefly, the lowest they could slip would be the 5th seed.
Yeah.
If they lose both games, that's more than likely where they'll end up. It depends on how the Clippers and the Nuggets do.
Right.
For everyone else, they're all two games behind right now. Like the Warriors, the Grizzlies, the Wolves, they're all two games behind. So even if they win both and the Lakers lose both, the Lakers will still be the higher seed no matter what because they own the head-to-head tiebreaker. Mm-hmm. I'll also leave a link in the description for this YouTube video of the tiebreaker rules. They're really interesting, and they're going to come into play.
For sure.
But generally, it's head-to-head record, and then from there, division win-loss percentage if you're in the same division, and then conference record, which for a lot of teams, it's going to shake out to be that.
Right.
But then if the Lakers do win one, they pretty much are going to be guaranteed to get the third seed. They have the better season record against the Clippers. So even if the Lakers won one and lost one and the Clippers won both, they would be tied. But the Lakers would win out. And then the only thing then would be the Nuggets. We did lose the season series to the Nuggets. So they have that main tiebreaker. But the second tiebreaker is division record. So if for some reason we have the same record as the Nuggets, or division leader. So if we have the same record as the Nuggets, but we lead the Pacific Division, we automatically win
in a tiebreaker situation
against them. So right. If the Lakers win tonight, which... who are they playing tonight?
The Rockets.
They're playing the Rockets, which... Who knows? That could be... The Rockets didn't play their starters either last night or the night before. So maybe they'll do the same and the Lakers can
It is pick proven, up a dub. Though, somebody did check us, made a stat on the injured players coming back against the Lakers, and it was like something like 38% of the time they do come back just because it's the Lakers. So I wouldn't be surprised even if they rested last time if Jalen Green and Şengün and all these guys played tonight.
Well, and here's the thing, too. It kind of would be good strategy for the Rockets because the Lakers, with one win, are going to be very likely to get the third seed.
Yeah.
And that if the Lakers were the third seed and the Rockets and the Lakers both won their first round series, they play each other.
Yeah.
And, I mean, Luka and LeBron is not something I want to see on the other side of the court.
Oh, no. So. And you got to give some credit to the Rockets. They played the Lakers pretty good, and they've played good basketball enough to get the second seed in a tough West. So, you know,
they look really good, just man. Young. I wasn't. If you go back to our episodes at the start of the season, I wasn't a believer, but Thompson, man,
yeah,
he's just been. He's definitely.
Amen, brother.
Yeah, that's actually a Sars brother. Amen Thompson, man. I literally had to look up which one it is, but mm-hmm. It's Amen.
At least he's not a Jalen Williams.
You know, oh,
with a Y.
Yes. No Y.
No Y. He's good.
Amen Thompson, man. He's something special. That physicality. He locked up Steph. He's gonna be special. He's gonna be on the All NBA team. All NBA defensive team this year.
Huge
team. He's taking a big leap offensively. He's kind of a do-it-all kind of guy for that team.
Oh, yeah.
So I they're going to be good, man. I do not want to see the Rockets in the playoffs, and the Lakers very likely will.
Yeah. Really interesting things that's happened recently. Something that we haven't seen ever, really. Playoff teams firing their coach.
Mid-season.
And the Nuggets doing it, I mean, right before playoffs.
I think a week before the season, or maybe within a week
yes.
of the season ending.
We haven't seen that. It's just kind of a weird thing. We do have some sort of reasoning behind both, but what do you think
it yeah. could
potentially be, and why this timing?
Yeah, let's get into that a little bit.
Taylor Jenkins.
Taylor Jenkins was the head coach of the Memphis Grizzlies. Mm-hmm. I think he had a good reputation. You know, he seemed like a guy that was always stood up for the players, kind of a player's coach. I don't know a lot about the Grizzlies' management and ownership, but
yeah.
maybe that was to a fault because Ja Morant, you know, famously had issues off the court where he's twice now brandished what appeared to be a weapon on Instagram Live, a gun, and was obviously suspended by the league for a huge chunk of time. And then since his return, for this season being the first full season, he's had injury problems. He's still kind of had on the court stuff. I think even just this season, his dad got kicked out of a game again. So there's stuff going on that maybe they were unhappy with there. I could see that because, you know, Ja has 2 seasons ago before all this stuff off the court, Ja was like, oh, he was, I think, in the place where Anthony Edwards is now. They were like, he's the next face of the league.
Yeah.
He's MVP caliber. And he just hasn't had that kind of season. He doesn't feel like a guy that's the face of the league anymore, really.
Yeah.
And maybe the Grizzlies ownership and management thinks, you know, a more hard, steadfast coach is going to be able to kind of buckle him down a little bit. I don't know how big of a problem they see that is. That's kind of a guess, just because here we are again. He just got fined for doing a gun celebration on his three-pointer aimed directly at the Warriors bench, which, like, it's one thing if you're just, like, doing it to, I don't know, the crowd, your teammate, nobody, like, but if you're Ja Morant and you're doing it at the Warriors of all teams, like, watch out. And now he's switched to the grenade celebration, which is, like, kind of sick.
I like it.
But when you're Ja Morant,
you're trolling the NBA.
You just stay away from that. And he acknowledged it. We can talk about that a little later. But yeah.
I go back to...
Yeah, I don't know.
I go back to what we've talked about plenty of times is the player empowerment. And in that situation, I'm talking about the Nuggets. So what they're saying is that Mike Malone catered and gave Russell Westbrook a little bit more of like a superstar treatment that he gives Jamal and Joker, and the other players didn't take a liking to that. To me,
this would be completely speculative.
Speculative, of course.
Probably Aaron Gordon and Michael Porter Jr. Because I would think they're more important than Russell Westbrook to that team.
Right.
Easily.
Yeah, I don't see Christian Braun or any of the younger guys. That Pickett guy, I think, is who they wanted to play in Russ's minutes, which is another reason why they were also upset. But when does the coach... Shouldn't the coach... I don't know. For me, I'm bringing up like kind of old school vibe, right? Like, the coach should have some type of, like, I guess, like a hierarchy where he can... If he wants to treat Russ and these players like that, and the players get upset about it, he shouldn't get fired for it. You know what I mean? Like,
he shouldn't get fired. But supposedly... So I was listening to Zach Lowe as we posted on Instagram. He is back. Yeah. He's with The Ringer. He's doing some podcasts, and he's one of my favorite guys to listen to. I feel like he does a good job of reporting, and he's pretty accurate at speculating. Yeah. He actually tweeted something at the start of the year that, you know, Mike Malone could be in trouble if things go bad this year.
Yeah.
He was right on the money.
Oh, so he had he's been saying that there's something – there's.
He tweeted something. Brewing already. He said something, I guess, that apparently – what we'll talk about now so Tim Connolly was the GM and I think president of the Nuggets up until I think the year before the championship.
Yeah.
And then he went with the Timberwolves. So he was kind of the architect for this team as it is. And then they brought in Calvin Booth.
Which also got fired.
Who was also fired, which was, I think was smart given what Zach Lowe said. But apparently there was camps. There was the Calvin Booth camp and there was the Mike Malone camp. And I guess they didn't see eye to eye, Westbrook being one of those things where Calvin Booth brought in Westbrook. I guess Mike Malone was not happy about that. I heard also that there was issues with Zeke Nagy, who's one of their younger guys that has been kind of in and out of the rotation. I guess even the players have said some stuff about, you know, they want the best for him, but he's not ready yet. Mm-hmm. And so I think there's been a lot of debate on personnel. You know, they lost KCP. They lost Bruce Brown a few years ago. Jeff Green. So I think there's been a lot of personnel disputes. But I do wonder, you know, as much of, like you said, maybe being a player's coach that Mike Malone was, maybe empowering Westbrook to the place he did, even though Westbrook's had a great season for them, maybe that was to the detriment. Because Zach Lowe also reported that in his podcast with the Nuggets beat writer that... There were, I mean, this was he report. They talked about this, but there's clips of Mike Malone saying in a post-game interview that the players aren't watching film. They have to be told what to do, like they're little kids.
He was cussing.
that there's no, yeah, there's no, like, no one's taking it like accountability for themselves. Mm-hmm. Which Jamal Murray confirmed in another in an interview himself, saying, you know, the coaches are leading us there, but we're not doing our jobs.
Yeah.
So it sounds like he maybe lost control of the locker room a little bit. And yeah. I know the Nuggets ownership group and president, I think, has said, you know, we're hoping that this can be the jolt this team needs to make a playoff run.
Yeah.
I completely disagree. I think this is a complete mistake. And yeah. this is going to derail the season further than maybe what it... Maybe it was already lost, but it seems like... this was the wrong move.
Right.
Zach Lowe also did talk about, I guess, Jamal Murray is injured, but they made it seem at first that it was just something small, but now he's questionable for maybe to play in the playoffs at all, maybe. Yeah. So if maybe the Nuggets know he's so injured he's not going to play, that the season's already, they're just chalking up as done and
yeah.
making moves early. I don't know. It seems like a crazy move to me. Probably you're the best coach in franchise history. Won you guys a championship, has helped make Jokic the player he is today.
Same with Taylor. He's the winningest Memphis coach, I think, right? So,
I would say Mike Malone's a much better coach.
Oh, for sure. But he's got the championship under his belt, too. It's just to nip it in the butt now as opposed to just letting him run it out through this playoffs and then firing him at the end. I don't know, just a weird timing of it, right, for both of these teams.
I think really weird timing. Taylor Jenkins was fired close to when they had in, I think, late February, mid-March, they had those three back-to-back losses off game winners. Mm-hmm. Daniel Lee on YouTube, who you guys should check out, he does some good basketball breakdowns. He had one about this, and there you would think, you know, it's luck, three game winners in a row. But he breaks it down that the plays before were poorly executed, poorly called, and there was, like, missed opportunities for timeouts, missed opportunities to, you know, get a good play in. So he thinks there was some skill issues with particularly Taylor Jenkins coaching there. So
yeah.
I do think probably Taylor Jenkins will get another shot. Maybe it's time to be, like, an assistant coach with the Warriors or the Spurs or, you know, somewhere to just, like, you've had this opportunity, but now, like, figure out what you did wrong and maybe rebuild a little bit.
I definitely think they'll get a job somewhere. But we'll see them on a team next season.
It is completely unheard of to have, like, these caliber of coaches on teams, like you said, that are playoff bound. They knew these teams were going to be in the playoffs at the time they made these decisions. Mm-hmm. To just let them go, I don't understand it. The Nuggets especially, just don't. I don't get it.
So weird, bro.
I guess interim coach David Adelman for the Nuggets is very well liked, according to, again, the Zach Lowe show. So maybe he can, you know, rally these players. They did win their first game without Mike Malone in Sacramento. So they got some big games coming up. That's for sure.
I'm reminded of the Dwayne Casey situation. Except
that one was really weird.
And that one, the season ended, though. Right.
Yeah.
And he was coach of the year and got fired.
I almost kind of got that one just because, like, he wasn't getting the job done, and obviously they ended up winning the championship the year after he was let go. But super weird situation.
This is why they call being an NBA coach the worst job.
Oh, that's tough.
The worst job to have. Yeah.
If Mike McCarthy can still coach the Cowboys, then. Must be a little easier.
Was that a shot at the Cowboys?
I'm just saying.
I'm not against that.
Nuggets still have a game against. They're playing the Grizzlies tonight, so that's a very important game in Denver. So
yeah,
big home court advantage. And their last game is against the Rockets. So again, who knows what lineup the Rockets will be rolling out? But that's going to be a very important game for them as well.
All the playoff teams are surprisingly playing them each other this last end of the season. So kind of crazy to think about. I wanted to talk about Shea and Joker a little bit. I know we brought up the MVP talk. And I want to take back what I said in the last couple episodes. I'm switching my pick to Joker.
I completely understand why you do that. I honestly, I have no clue, dude. It's so tough.
I mean, Joker is one of, I forgot what the exact stat, but he is top three in points, rebounds, and assists, and I don't think anybody else is doing that. Along with what they've gone through this whole season, and now the whole coaching thing, it looks like he's almost the coach on the sideline. If you've seen the games,
he's been acting like it,
right? I think I got to give it to him again, right? I mean, I don't know how you feel about that.
I think he is extremely well deserving of it.
Yeah.
He is third in total points and points per game at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he'll be caught in either of those. He's fourth in total rebounds, but interestingly,
we got passed.
Because Zubats has the most rebounds right now, total rebounds, 982.
Mm-hmm.
But somehow he's only fourth in the rebounds per game lists, mm-hmm. and Jokic jumps up to second on rebounds per game. So
yeah.
Good luck figuring that one out. And then he's second in both assists per game and total assists. So yeah, he's just had a crazy, crazy season.
You can't ignore it, bro. You know?
Shea is the best player on the best team. So that's often the criteria for MVP for a lot of people. Especially given the Nuggets could slip as low as the play-in depending on these next two games.
Yeah.
Joker, man, I think in my gut, I would give it to him. I know a lot of people have complained about Shea being a foul baiter and things like that. For the most part, I think he plays the game. I think he's finding places to get fouled. He's definitely getting favorable calls, and he's looking for contact. I think for me, the bar is always going to be Harden. Those Harden years, man. He would walk into a player and it would be a foul on them. Mm-hmm. Remember the play he rode, like Ricky Rubio or somebody? He like jumped on their back and it was a foul on them.
Into the player.
Just ridiculous stuff. I don't think Shea is quite that bad. Mm-hmm. He seeks out a ton of contact. So
he does.
I get why players are upset or people are, you know, fans are upset, but it's part of the game. And he plays that part of the game really well. So I don't personally hold it against him unless the Thunder are playing the Lakers. Yeah. Then he's a foul-baiting SOB.
Because don't like him. We also have a foul-baiting player.
We have the two biggest crybabies in the NBA.
But Shea, where he stands out from what I've watched, is he can get a bucket anytime he wants.
Oh, yeah.
Just
tearing up defenses.
Really hard to guard.
From the mid-range, too, so.
Yeah, really hard to guard, and straight-on threes, mid-range is insane. He can get to the bucket whenever he wants. That, I think, along with the success of the team, will get him the MVP, but it's just hard to count out Joker, bro. You know?
I do think Shea will get it, but I think I'd pick Joker.
Yeah. Before we get to some Kickaronis. We'll get to that later.
Seen these.
Our boy, Carmelo Anthony, Hall of
Famer.
HOF. And Mr. D12 himself, also Hall of Fame. Sue Bird, I believe, made it too.
Yeah, we touched on the eligible class, and I think all the big names that we shouted out have made it. Sylvia Fowles, the Redeem Team.
Which is Kobe's going to be.
Melo will get in twice in 1 year. I don't know if anyone else is doing that. I'm going to have to look that up.
Yeah, and our boy Kobe will be inducted as well.
Twice. Yes. A second time. D12 is an interesting one, man. I think super well deserved. But he requested.
What are you going to bring up right now?
I don't know if you saw this. As soon as it was announced, it was kind of leaked, actually. Once again, Sham somehow got the early info. He leaked that. You know, Melo was in, Dwight was in. And then Dwight tweeted that he wants KG, Kareem, and Shaquille O'Neal to introduce him for the Hall of Fame enshrinement. Great picks. Interesting picks.
Shout out to him, though, for still asking for Shaq, considering all the criticism he's given him.
Right? I mean, that's been more or less a one-sided beef for a long time because Shaq's kind of been a baby about it for a while.
It's too much.
But I think, too, I think, if I'm not mistaken, I don't know if you remember this, I think there was a tiny bit of beef between Kareem and Dwight when he was playing for the Lakers.
Because he didn't take his lesson.
Which I just will never understand. Mm-hmm. At that time period, you know, Kareem was, before Dwight got here, he was training Andrew Bynum. He was kind of on the Lakers coaching staff. Why
not?
Why would anyone not want to listen to what Kareem says?
At least just for to say that you've got to work with him.
But, seriously.
But mostly, maybe you improve your game.
Get that sky hug, baby.
Yeah.
But I think it's cool that he's picking, you know, players with great historical value to the game. I think it's great that he's picking players he had battles with on and off the court.
And who he looked up to. Right?
Yeah, so I think that'll be cool. I'm super excited for Melo as well. Also well-deserved. Yeah, it should be a pretty good HOF class.
Yeah. You brought up, when we were talking about Sue Bird,
her accomplishments. Resume.
Holy moly, she's a beast.
One of
my favorites.
Of the most insane, like... Yeah, so two-time NBA or NCAA champion.
Uh-huh.
Five-time EuroLeague champion, which is...
That one surprised me.
Which is crazy because it's not just one league. That's like the top women's teams from all the different European leagues. A lot of the WNBA players before a lot more money started coming into the league would play the WNBA offseason overseas. So she won the EuroLeague five times, which is stupid.
Wow.
And then a four-time WNBA champion. And then maybe, I don't know, the biggest one, a five-time Olympic gold medalist.
That's five times.
That's so many championships. That's too many.
Can you imagine her trophy room? Like, that's a lot of stuff. That's a lot of hardware in there.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Yeah, her trophy room must be insane.
One of the goats, bro. I mean...
So, congratulations to all the HOFers.
Yes. The Fers.
The Fers. Those mother HOFers. The
mother HOFers. But yeah, shout out to them. And the ones that we didn't name. Maya Sylvia Moore, Fowles. I believe.
Sylvia Fowles, I think.
Miss Maya Moore Beast.
Yes. Yeah. Maya Moore also.
Monster.
Super winner.
What a monster. So hard to guard. But should we get into some... Sneakeronis?
I'm actually already wearing some sneakers. I'm in them already.
What are you wearing?
Jordans.
Ooh.
Ones. Black toe.
Black toe lows.
That's right.
Wonderful black toe
lows. You are also wearing Jordan ones.
One lows, yes.
We only wear Jordan one lows. The Jordan one low show.
We also, and before we do get into them again, maybe we get into a couple pickups. What did you get recently?
I picked up a pair we've talked about a lot on this show.
A lot.
The Nike Dunk Corduroy.
You tried them on?
I haven't tried them on. I got to clean them up. They look nice. Decent. I want to clean them up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, they look pretty nice. I guess I should probably try them on. But I'm pretty confident I'm a 13. So
okay.
Should fit fine.
But how do they look in person?
They're nice, dude. The material is crazy. Yeah, it's so... thick. It's like having a carpet on your foot.
Yes, yes, you say.
But
there's almost like a quarter. There's the corduroy, and then there's also like a plaid, or like
corduroy and like a not a plaid, but
yeah, kind of look at this kind of
yeah.
Yeah.
this. They were used on eBay. Picked them up for they were like $95. Before shipping.
And then what happened?
I had like a bunch of I had money to eBay, I had money to Venmo, so I got them for like $20, which I felt pretty good about. But they were a little more well worn than I thought initially. But I think just a little cleaning will get them back into pretty nice shape.
Yeah.
How about you? You've had like 1,000 pairs that you've got recently.
I had a birthday a couple weeks ago. So I treated myself to a couple pairs. But yeah, if you caught our latest YouTube video, I did.
Check it out.
It was latest pickups. Got some on there. But yeah, Starfish Jordan 1 Lows, I've been wanting for a long time.
Fire.
They are in there. Born and raised dunks.
He did something illegal to get those.
Born and raised dunks. Don't. Let's not bring that
snitch
up again. We're not doing that.
I'll tell you guys later.
We're not bringing... Nothing illegal happened. I got the Air Max 1 Donkey Kong colorway.
The big head, yeah.
At which has now turned into the Lost and Found Jordan 1s. So I've had a busy last couple weeks, man.
So many trades, yeah.
But shout out Cool Kicks, Rami, Frankie, and Legendary JB. They always take care of us when we're there. So shout out to them. And you know what's cool is they had a GoldenEye colorway of the Air Max 1 Big Head Origins. Have you heard,
yes, about that? Yes, yeah, yeah.
But the only way to win them was joining a raffle under this new Nike site they have. It's called swoosh.com or something like that.
Oh, okay. I didn't really hear about that.
And you had to fill out some crazy questionnaire and all these things to even enter, and that's how you would win it. So I was like, I'm too lazy for that.
Donkey Kong it is.
Yeah. So I did not join that. But yeah, so it's been a busy couple weeks, man.
Yeah, you've been hidden, man. I'm hoping to save my luck for the Rookie of the Years and the first pair on new releases.
Yes.
So let's jump into it. You're the big brother to one of your recently copped pairs.
That's right.
Here we go, getting into it. The shattered backboard highs.
I think is it safe to say that this is a holy grail for you?
I would say this is one of my first grails. This is like a pair that once you told me about it, and once I learned the history, I was like, whoa.
Who are you? Are my shining star. I hear music when I see these, bro.
Crazy pair. I can't believe they're re-releasing them this year. Nike's really going like putting out everything in their back stock.
Yeah.
All the hype shoes are coming out, so it's pretty exciting. For you guys that don't know the backstory to this, make sure you check out one of our YouTube shorts, one of our first YouTube shorts. Yeah. That goes into that a little bit. Super cool story.
It's from Italy.
These are Italian. Find this Italian leather on these
Michael
shoes.
Michael Jordan.
Huh? They make me an offer I cannot refuse.
He wore this in a tournament in Italy. The colors of the shoe are the jersey.
Reflect the jersey.
That he wore, or his team wore.
And I'll give you a hint as to what he did.
And I think he broke something.
His backboard.
So that shattered it. Just one of the most loved Jordan 1s, I think.
Of all time. Yeah, easily. These are coming out somewhat soon. It's going to sneak up on us, that's for sure. July 12th is the release date per Sneaker Bar Detroit. They're going to be at least 180, because that's what pretty much every Jordan 1 high goes for. But, you know, tariffs, so... Who knows?
Yeah. We'll see by July 12th.
What is going on?
Easily the shoe of the summer.
All right.
And it will be in the running for shoe of the year, but there's just too many things coming out to say that.
There's so many things coming out.
But this of the summer, it's got to be this.
I can't wait for these. I'm going to do everything in my power to get these. I would like to pay market value for them, but if I must, I will save up some money and pay aftermarket value, because this is going to be...
Yeah.
I'm going to sign my family up for sneakers and make them try and get these. Tate.
Size 9C. No. 13,
ooh,
man.
If they did a full-size run, him and I in matching shattered backboards.
That would be... Yeah, and then when he's older, you can show him, like... But not give him yours. You're like, you can't have
mine. These won't fit. off podcast, can you imagine if we got those and then we had, remember the Tyler Hero fit, like the Cuban outfit, but like orange?
Yeah. Oh, fire. So
white
fire.
Undershirt super. Is over.
You better do it.
I would definitely do
you
it.
You should just do it anyway. I think a couple of cool things. It is the 10-year anniversary of when the first release of these came out.
Commercial release.
So super cool. Not just Nike and Jordan releasing a lot of their old retro loved shoes back in the... Like, a lot of the old retro, like...
The classic.
The classic stuff that they're re-releasing, like the Wu-Tangs and et cetera. Yeah. A thing that I did not know that I learned researching the shoe is this type of colorway and color blocking birthed the color blocking for the black toe, the red toe, the royal toe, and all the other
Really?
Toe colorways. So we wouldn't have any of those if it wasn't for the shattered backboard.
How pretty cool dope. Would it be to have been in like the meetings 10 years ago when like who discovered, I mean, probably rediscovered because, you know, he was a Nike athlete when he was in Italy playing the tournament. But yeah. Like who was like, hey, you know, he broke a backboard like mm-hmm. in Italy 40 years ago. Like,
you should do something about that.
That's whoever came up with that. You get a raise.
Genius. And also, there's only one like tape or footage of him in the game. There's no.
I had no clue there was any footage. I discovered that it's in our short, so make sure to check that out. But
yes,
it's crazy that there's footage of him in the game.
Yeah, it's like an orange jersey. You can see him playing. I've also seen pictures, but there's no
high quality pictures. The footage is rough, but
it's really bad. But there's no footage of him breaking the backboard or anything like that. So. I think I'm part of the reason why people love him so much.
Yeah, because it's like a myth, you know?
Big
it's
time,
like,
yeah.
You can say it happened, but mm-hmm. like, this is, and it added to his myth at the time, of course. So,
and so super cool. Dope pair. You can imagine in 1985 when this happened, all the people that were watching, you got to watch Michael Jordan.
His airness, like, man.
But, yeah.
Super excited for these.
Stay tuned, guys.
What about orange laces? What do you think? I think probably not.
Maybe too much.
Too Halloween-y.
I might go with the white just to switch it up every now and then.
Maybe.
But you can't beat the black.
You can't beat the black, no. Moving it along mm-hmm. to what I think is a super cool pair. The Nike KD18 Air Bacon colorway. Yeah. As you can see, these were on foot for KD. So I think it's cool that they're releasing a PE, essentially.
Yeah.
And obviously the Air Bacon, one of the more controversial shoes in Nike's back catalog, which we have discussed in an episode. Who would that have been for? Tim Hardaway?
Tim Hardaway.
Was the guy that wore it? I don't know why we were talking about it, though.
We it was during one of our retro shoe episodes, and we brought it up briefly. I do like this version of it better on the KD than the actual Bacon.
The OG. Here's the OG.
Yeah. Great shoe. Looks cool. I love the retroness of it. One of the only Nike shoes where the swoosh goes up.
Yeah.
And super comfortable and flexible shoe. Obviously, Tim Hardaway is a really shifty guy, so perfect for him.
Can't trust him.
Can't, no.
It's too shifty.
UTEP.
Yeah, two steps.
Yep. And again, just a wonderful marketing for Nike to put all these old shoes onto LeBron's, onto KD's.
That's true. I didn't think about that.
And just cool way to bring them back without bringing back the old model. And you know, KD is, in terms of a shoe and the sneaker world, he's up there, man, with his line.
Yeah, he's got some classics for sure. Not a huge fan of either colorway. I actually really like the Bacon model. I think if you did some other colorways, it could be a cool shoe to retro
for sure.
It's just a little loud for me, the mm-hmm. McDonald's KD18s, you know?
Yeah.
But I do like, you know, paying homage to, like, a shoe that was so controversial at the time. So
thank you
cool.
for,
and, it's cool to touch on that.
And thank you for bringing that up, because there was a public outroar was as a result for the Air. It said Air on the back of the original Air Bacon.
And it was supposed to be, like, for the Miami Heat. The colorway was kind of for the
like
Heat.
Fire.
Yeah.
But was translated by people into like an Arabic type of.
It looked like it was Arabic script, yeah.
Almost like something people were saying it was disrespectful and saying like close to Allah and stuff like that. So they removed that whole thing from the back of the shoe. They even took it off of the shelves from what I looked up.
I didn't know that.
And what's cool about it is that. There's also another model of this called the LX model. You know how like Russell Westbrook has his I forgot what we called it, the casual line.
Like a lifestyle
shoe. LeBron has that. KD also has that. And there's an LX model of this, which is super cool. But I love this colorway, bro.
The KD 18 Air Bacon colorway is going to be coming out on May 15th per Hypebeast.
Mm-hmm.
For $159, which is very specific and strange. I would imagine this is going to be a sneakers release, as with the shattered backboards, of course.
Yeah.
So keep an eye out. Download the app keep it updated if you have not already.
And shout out to a designer that we've spoke about before, Eric Avar.
Yep.
Designed the Air Bacon and this.
Oh, okay.
So, nice.
Very cool.
And also the architect for Kobe's line.
Yeah. Last up, we've got a cool collab and a shoe that we really haven't talked about a lot on the show. It's in its second season, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
The Nike Book One, and this is a Harry Suede version in collab with Chevy. They're calling this the Dark Gold Leaf. This is Book's second apparel collection that he's doing. So it's a collab with Chevy. It includes this limited edition Book One. Yep. And then it also includes two blazers, a surf blue blazer.
Fire.
And a green blazer. And then two graphic tees that are all going to be released through sneakers. Yep. On April 22nd, except for the surf blue blazers. Those are only going to be through select retail locations.
Interesting.
So, keep an eye on that. We'll try and get some more info out to you guys on where you can pick them up if you're interested.
And let's finally get it straight. How do you feel about the Book One? Because we haven't spoke about it too much.
I think this collab actually emphasizes one of my bigger problems with the shoe. I think when we really haven't talked about it at all, but when the shoe came out, we both briefly said on the pod and talked about it with each other that it's just a little boring.
Yes.
It looks like a less detailed version of like a Dunk almost.
Yes.
It's just missing, you know, a bit of those overlays and stuff that make most other Nike shoes kind of stand out.
Yeah.
And I think this Harry Suede, the brown especially, this kind of looks like a slipper. This doesn't look like a basketball shoe, which I don't think is necessarily a problem. Obviously, we're wearing models that used to be considered basketball shoes. So I think it's smart of Nike to try and capture that, like, you can wear it on the court or you can wear it in the street mentality, which, you know, probably a lot of people aren't going to do with the KD18 or the LeBrons or anything.
Yep.
But I just feel like it missed the mark a little bit, at least as a basketball shoe. Honestly, I feel like this could probably have a better life as just a casual, like a lifestyle, everyday wear shoe. But to me, the model of the shoe has been a bit bland.
Yeah.
Book has obviously showed his sneakerhead knowledge and done some crazy colorways and PEs, everything from a Penny Hardaway colorway to the
Air Max 95,
Air Flight 89, the PJ Tucker shoe.
Super deep cut with that.
He had his own PE in the same style as that. So he's done a lot of cool stuff with the shoe. But I don't know. Nothing's ever really, like, whenever they have a limited release or a cool release on sneakers, I'm never like, oh, I gotta get these.
Yeah, same.
I don't know about you.
I agree with everything you said, but with that being said, with everything you're explaining, the plainness of it, I think, gives him the versatility to do all those.
That's true.
Right.
That's
so
true.
I think that's, to me, that makes it cool. But yeah, it is a versatile shoe. It's a basket. Obviously, for basketball, you can use it as a lifestyle shoe and swag it out on the street, whatever you want to do with it. So that makes it also cool. But there is that basicness to it, and plainness that kind of bothers me a little bit. It isn't a shoe that gets me excited when it's coming out in sneakers, like you said. But pretty cool thing about it is that every athlete, NBA player that has their own shoe has their own specific lifestyle attached to it. So Devin Booker has he's like an old school guy, right? He likes his low riders. With this he dresses like very old school with the big pants and, you know, like old, like 90s almost.
Yeah.
Right? And along with the promotion of this shoe, he drove that big Chevy truck, the
Chevy
old school
Blazer,
the Blazer, sick. So nice. Dude.
I think you know what Book is doing with the shoe and with his collections and stuff is very specific. All his PEs are very specific. He wore like a cool PE to commemorate his 70-point game against the Celtics when they played the Celtics around the same time. So
yeah.
It's very well planned out, very well executed. So, I mean, I got to give him his props for that. And I think this is probably, like you said, super good collab because of the his love for classic cars and muscle cars in particular.
Yes.
Here's a look at the Nike Blazer that is releasing. All the shoes have the Chevy logo on the tongue, which is a cool touch. And I personally love the Harry Suede.
Love that.
Blazers aren't a super good fit for me, so I might skip out on this. And I'm not necessarily like a huge Chevy guy, but I don't know. I think it's a cool collab. I think it's, again, very well executed. I don't think the execution of any of the Booker shoes have been terrible. The snakeskin one, I don't know if you remember that. I was never a huge fan of that. I didn't think that came out very good. But, you know, I think kind of felt like maybe Nike hoped that these would be bigger than they are. Mm-hmm. I feel like you just don't see... I've never seen a pair in person. Mm-hmm. I feel like you don't see them getting talked about a ton online. But they've done their part to, you know, they released a ton of different colorways to the public. And mm-hmm. I think I'm interested to see what's next. If which way they go. Are they going to stay in this lane of you can wear it either way? Right? Yeah. Or are they going to be like, okay, it's time to have you have a basketball shoe?
Yeah.
So
I think
it'll be interesting.
A big tell too is the NBA players, right? I think everyone's wearing right now. The Kobe's are huge.
Kobe, right? You see them every night.
The Kobe's, the Jordan 38. I think you see all the time. Even the Lukas you see a lot. The Tatums. Where these place in the NBA, where the NBA players, I don't know if it's...
It's a good point. I don't know if I've ever noticed anyone but PJ wearing them. And I don't even think he got on the court that night. He had his special PE. So
shout out PJ, man.
PJ.
What was the last time we brought up PJ? We brought the Wizards earlier too, right?
The Zards earlier today. The Zards,
yeah. But I also agree with you with the Blazers. I love Blazers, but I have a wider foot. This would, and Blazers are more for people with narrow feet.
Yeah.
I think these would eventually stretch out for me if I had them. So yeah, be a little more wide, but beautiful shoe. Nice little details again that we always talk about with the Chevy logo, and then also says Chevrolet on the back. I think going down.
Yeah, yeah.
And then can't beat the Harry Suede and Gumsole, man. It's pretty
nasty combo.
But shout out Book, man, doing this thing.
That's it for newer releases. Which means it is time for Decapity and Didropity. Yes, that is the one.
Yes.
I think this is in line with, you know, we talked about a few PEs that are going to be released.
I'm excited.
And these are two new PEs that are announced to have been released, but not from the NBA. No, no, no. So to jump into it, we have two Caitlin Clark PEs being released here. A Nike Kobe 5 and a Nike Kobe 6. We'll call it the Fever P, and I don't know what you want to call that one, the ice?
The Frozones.
Frozone. they look like Frozones.
Yeah. Damn, that is a beautiful shoe, man.
So these are both rumored to be released later this year. The Kobe 5 is going to be dropping on June 1st and the 6 on October 1st.
Yeah.
I don't know. These pretty sick. I just think it's cool that like she wore both of these. These are her PEs.
She loves Kobe's.
Yes. And so I think it's really cool that they're getting released. You know, it's just a cool thing where it's like if you're a huge fan of that player, this is like having a piece of their story with you. So
right.
I think it's very cool.
Right. And I love the 5 more than the 6. Kobe 5 is my favorite model of all the Kobe's. It's her PE, right?
It's her PE, but it is, I would say, in line with the Fever's colorway.
Yeah.
They've, I think, always been kind of black and reddish. Yeah.
Okay.
Or maybe it was, I can't remember. They recently kind of added in either more red or more yellow. I can't remember which one it is. I think it's yellow because Fevers are like red, you know?
I don't know. When you have a fever, it's
you
red.
Physically
because
become
it's
red.
Like 100 degrees.
Yes.
Red. Yeah, okay, that makes sense. Also, shout out to Nike for releasing a lot of player editions.
Right?
That's
sick.
There was a time when we don't get that.
No.
So cool thing that they're doing.
I love the gradient from red to yellow on the swoosh outline.
That's
dope.
I wish they did it on the lace.
Ooh.
That would have been dope. But they did it on the tongue.
Yellow. Yeah.
They did it on the tongue. Forget it.
And the heel a little bit too.
Ooh, yeah. Kind of reminds me of like summery vibe.
Yeah, it's like dusk.
Yes.
It's like the night is blue, the sunset.
It's always darkest before the dawn.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I gotta choose the six, bro.
Ooh, really? You're going with the Frozones.
Look how icy that is.
Where is your super suit?
I'm not telling.
If you get the, if you hit on these, you have to go as Frozone for Halloween.
It's on the Fortress of Solitude. Frozone. I'd be down. That's actually a pretty sick costume. But I'm going to choose the six. What do you choose?
I would go with the five. I agree. Yeah. I like that model better. And this colorway is dope.
Fire.
I love that colorway, man. So I guess since we disagree, podcast's over. Sorry, guys.
It's the last one.
Them's the rules.
We decide to go part and part ways if we don't agree.
You know what they say, 61 and done. We hit that magic number.
Magic number.
61.
This has a ring to it.
Thank you for copping and dropping. Let us know, guys, which ones you guys would pick up. And yeah. If you guys are going to try and get either of these, again, June 1st for the 5, October 1st for the 6 are the rumored release dates.
Do you like the 5 better or the 6 better, too? Tell us.
Do you like me better or EJ better? Don't tell us.
But thanks, bro.
Yes, indeed.
I'm starting to believe that you don't miss.
Kobe. Yes. Let's.
How did you shoot it, Kobe?
I was fading away.
No, that's not how it looks.
Yes.
Yes.
All right, moving it along here to the Heat that are on the feet on the NBA court, mm-hmm. on the players.
Heat on the toes of the bros.
Yes.
I don't know. I
New think section. Of that's what it's called forever now. Here we go. First up, we have another crazy PE situation going on.
Oh, wait. This is going to be great.
It's yes. Steph Curry in the Curry brand Fox 1, the Davion Mitchell PE. Say that 10 times fast.
They look like the newest Batmobile.
Yeah, for real. Right? So, yeah, this is the Under Armour Curry brand.
Yeah.
Within the Curry brand, this is the Fox 1, De'Aaron Fox's signature shoe.
But.
And it's the PE for his former teammate, Davion Mitchell. And yes. I know you might be asking me, Julian, why is Davion Mitchell not on screen? Well, Steph got them before Davion Mitchell did.
And they're his shoe.
So he's wearing them.
Yes.
But yes, this is the Liberty PE for Davion Mitchell. It is designed and named after Mitchell's high school, Liberty County High, from Georgia.
Okay.
It also features his nickname, which is, I think it's a sick nickname, but it might be kind of mean. His nickname is Off Night, which is like,
Off Night?
Maybe cool as in like, oh, he doesn't have any off nights.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's cool. If you say
or
like
maybe
that.
It's mean, like, man, you only have off nights. but I thought it was cool. Here's a closer look, kind of black and gold. The strap as a foxtail, I just won't ever get over. You can see a little bit on that strap there. Yeah. It says Off Night.
Dope.
Kind of a whack font, if you ask me. But,
yeah. Too proper.
Looks like we're reading the paper.
Exactly.
This is, I think we've tried to talk about this in one of our many failed attempts to do a remote episode. This is such a cool model, man. I mean, they complete, this is such a win in my book for Under Armour and Curry Brand. Also have some numbers in there. I'm not.
What are the numbers represent?
912,
cool.
I think. Maybe that's the area code.
Oh, from where the high school is?
let's see.
Also features the flow technology that is in Steph's shoes, which is pretty cool.
912. Yeah, that's cool. the area code.
That's awesome. Really cool touch of how they did it, too.
Yeah, I really like everything about this shoe. De'Aaron Fox's logo, I think, is a win.
Big time.
There's really not much I don't like about it. And this is a cool PE. Nothing too crazy, but black and gold, especially for Warriors, that's like a perfect fit. So
super perfect. Makes sense why he wore it too, right?
Davion Mitchell's on the Heat now, so not as well of a fit, but
still
very well done.
I would even go as far to say if it didn't have the strap, I don't know if I'd like it as much.
I think the strap does so much for it.
It does a lot for
it. And
shoe.
I think the fact that it is designed to be a foxtail just it
genius. Oof. I mean that's another person to give that guy a raise to.
Yes, or seriously.
Woman. Yeah.
Guy is gender neutral. Dude, give that dude a raise.
Give that person.
Give that fella.
That's right.
Fella's
no,
pretty
that's
guy.
Not, yeah.
This was on April 9th against the Spurs. The Warriors lost 111-114 after a Harrison Barnes 3-point game winner.
Thank you for bringing that up. Remember we brought that up the other night? What a game winner.
That's against your former team, a team that is out of the playoffs and has no business beating the Warriors right now, mm-hmm. Who are super hot since getting Jimmy Butler.
Yeah.
That hurts the Warriors, man. They could have been sitting easily at a four, potentially third seed even.
Mm-hmm.
But now I don't think they'll be hard for them to get higher than five, I think.
Thank you, Spurs.
Yeah. Although, if the Lakers stay three and they fall to six, that could be a first-round matchup.
That is going to be a fun matchup, bro.
Steph had 30 points, 8 rebounds, 3 assists, and 2 steals. No blocks, 1 turnover, and 0 fouls on 12 of 24 shooting. 5 of 14 from downtown. He was on fire.
Sheesh.
Jimmy Butler had his Warriors career high with 28, and then he also put together 4 rebounds and 7 assists. And Harrison Barnes finished with 20 points after hitting that game winner. Mm-hmm. So, very good game. Very important game for the Warriors. Not one they wanted to lose.
That was a really cool buzzer beater. We saw some cool ones. Did you see Halliburton's three last night?
Dude, that game was ridiculous.
That game was
so
awesome.
Back and forth.
Yeah.
Man,
I'm excited for playoffs.
I know. Seriously. Man. Right around the corner. Moving it along to the most controversial man of the hour, Ja Morant, mid-grenade celly here,
mm-hmm.
In the Nike Ja 2 Kool-Aid
awesome.
PE. Very cool collab. For those of you that don't know, Ja was recently punished for doing finger guns at the Warriors bench, which I believe we mentioned at the top of the show, and has since switched his three-point celebration to lobbing a grenade. And then he covers his ears, which he says is that it's not throwing a grenade. It's his words. He's throwing them out there, and then he blocks out the noise. So take that, NBA. Oh!
Cap.
He's hatting. He's a mad hatter.
Hat. Those jerseys are fire. Sorry, just off topic.
Yeah, they're nice. He did say, though, that he's going to do this celebration until it's a problem. So
of course he is.
He's pretty much asking for it to be a problem by saying that. And then he says, he kind of a good sport about it, I guess. He said he'll find a new celebration.
Yeah.
Which he had, I don't know if you saw this, he had the bazooka.
I was going to say, this is next.
He did that earlier this season.
Mm-hmm.
So he's just all the weaponry. Maybe he'll get a little tank and drive it.
Little tank.
RC tank.
Or he's just going to stare at you and when you walk in, be like, landmine. Or something like that. real quick, favorite Kool-Aid flavor? 1, 2, 3.
Red. I like how it's not. It's red. You can tell me it's fruit punch or cherry.
Could be cherry. Be strawberry.
It's red.
It's red. That's right.
Here's a closer look at these things that do kind of encompass a lot of the Kool-Aid flavors, and there's a little Kool-Aid man on there.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
So
that's very fun.
I love the two different color shoes. I love that.
That's been kind of his thing. He's had a lot of that.
What's the deal with the crackiness stuff there?
I guess I would guess because the Kool-Aid man always breaks through. Yeah.
Oh, that's pretty cool then. I like that.
And
I guess which foot do you like better?
I was going to ask you the same thing. I like the red foot.
The red foot. Yeah, me too. Oh, dude, you're
my favorite flavor. Ah, you don't like me.
Maybe it's watermelon, huh?
Oh,
Moosh, drop your hat.
Don't look at my hat hair. Ja Morant finished in this game against the Wolves from just a few nights ago. 120. The Grizzlies finished 125-141 in another game that they would have liked to win.
Yeah.
Ja had 36 points, 1 rebound, 6 assists, 1 steal, 0 blocks, 5 turnovers, and 3 fouls on 13 of 27 shooting. 5 for 13 from 3, and he lobbed 3 grenades. Kidding. I don't know. He did do it at least three times.
Awesome research. You saw how many times he did it.
Desmond Bane had 28 points and 6 of 10 from downtown. And then Anthony Edwards, 44 points through 3 quarters. He played like 7 minutes in the 4th, but didn't score. So, holy moly.
Dude is a monster.
He is the truth.
In his words, he's the best in the world. tell all the girls.
Yes.
Yeah, tell all the
girls. Tell all the girls, yeah.
Yeah, so funny.
His locker room, like, that just gets picked up from when he's not even being interviewed is hysterical, man.
He's hilarious. Love that guy.
And then last up for Heat on Feet, we're going back a few weeks. And as a matter of fact,
yeah,
we're not even on the court anymore.
Whoa.
We're on the diamond.
Ooh.
Mookie Betts.
Beast.
Dude, what a great season he's had. He is wearing Sneaker of the Year.
Yeah.
Jordan 4.
I think so.
Nigel Sylvester Brick by Brick collab.
I mean, the lead, like the front runner.
Look at that, like, as a cleat, that is a flex if I have ever seen one.
Also, not fair as your first.
To open the season with the Brick by Brick.
You know, like home opener as a champion. It's just fire. He was gifted those by Nigel, too. There's a picture of him, like, you know.
It's so super dope. Sick. I think he's since switched back to, I think he wore Jordan 11 for a little bit.
He was a Legend Blue.
And then he switched back. He's got like a shiny Jordan 1. Like a glittery almost.
He had a True Blue 3. Too, I believe last year.
Last year he did. That was like all playoffs. He rocked those. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think for the last few games he's been in Jordan 1 mode.
But these man, dude.
This is from the Dodgers home opener against the Tigers. They won 5-4 on March 27th. Mookie had one hit in 4 plate appearances and 1 run scored. The rest of the Dodgers All-Star team, Shohei had 2 homers and 1 RBI. And Blake Snell picked up the W with 5 innings pitched and only 2 earned runs. So
super interesting game. The Dodgers' defense was really bad in the first 2 innings. Blake Snell called in.
I think, was this the game Mookie had in the air?
Yes. Yeah. Him and Max Muncy were just terrible on defense. Called in the infield and kind of just pep talk. And they came back out. Played bad not again. They called out the coach.
Did not get it.
And it was like, what's going on? They're like really like kind of like panicking right now. And then they settled down. Kind of a weird game.
You are easily a bigger baseball and Dodgers fan than me. But I am wondering, you know, that was Mookie's first game. He's obviously switched to shortstop, second base?
Shortstop.
Shortstop. How do you like that move compared to having him in the outfield? Because he was, I mean, locked in last season in right field.
I think he's a better outfielder. I think it's kind of weird that he can obviously do anything. One of those guys is really rare, but I don't think it was I just learned to like it that he's in shortstop because there are like, what they say is there's like the little nooks and crannies of being a shortstop that.
There's a lot.
That you'd have, that you just kind of have. You can also develop it. It's hard to get. After 1 year of being a shortstop, like he, after his whole career being an outfielder and being one of the best, right?
Yeah,
we don't have an elite shortstop, so I get putting him there and is a good idea. So I mean, I've learned to like it.
All right,
that's cool.
I accept.
You accept?
Okay, yes,
that's good.
but that's it for Heat on Feet, and I mean, what a way to round us out. I'd say
that was a great end, bro.
Legendary.
Nice. With the champs. And they got their rings right after that. Before we finish, let's get into our Stump the Statty Daddy. We need music for that. We'll make music for that. We always use that. Never mind.
Banana. I mean, it's classic.
Okay. This first one isn't a individual accolade. It is a team accolade.
The 1969 Lakers?
Nope. This team shot a franchise record 51 of 73 three-pointers in a series, playoff series, highest ever, 68.9%.
Whole.
That is ridiculous.
51 threes, 68.9%?
Yeah.
Was it the Cavs?
No.
Because I remember they had a few series.
You will be surprised of which team it is.
They had a few series of, like, just lights-out shooting.
Yes.
The Atlanta Hawks, 2016.
No. You get one more guess.
Why? Okay. 51 for the whole series?
Yes.
How many games was it?
Shoot, I should have got that. I didn't get that.
Okay.
This was recent, a couple years ago.
It must have been recent.
Yeah. Really weird. It's not the Warriors. I'll give you that.
I didn't think so. Otherwise, you wouldn't have put it. is it the Nets?
No.
Dang.
The Milwaukee Bucks.
The Bucks.
Interesting enough, right?
Wow, that is pretty weird.
That is insane. This next one is really cool that I found. This is the highest three-point percentage by a player in the season. It was the 1994-95 season. This player shot 52.4% from the three-point range, which is ridiculous. That's half.
Is it Mark Price?
No.
Steve Kerr?
Steve
Kerr. Okay, that was my first guess, but for some reason I thought it was Mark Price.
People forgot he was... He had a flamethrower, bro.
He was legit.
Even on the Spurs, he was good.
Yeah.
You know?
Clutch. Always very clutch.
This one is going to be a little tough, okay? Because there's two guys and a really particular stat that I think you'll enjoy. Most assists in a game by a rookie point guard. So there's two guys that did the same thing. One guy is very known. He did it in February 23rd, 1987. The other guy did it on the Buffalo Braves on January 1st, 1974. And sorry, the other guy was on the Sonics.
Okay, the guy on the Braves, is it Tiny Archibald? Stat lines?
No. Do you want the stat lines?
Sure.
The first guy that was on the Sonics, 8 points, 8 rebounds, 25 assists. And the other guy from the Buffalo Braves was 20 points, 9 rebounds, 25 assists.
25
for a rookie. It's wild. We haven't seen anything like that. Okay, this second guy, I'm going to give you the name because he's kind of... I didn't even know him. Ernie DiGregorio from the Buffalo Braves.
Oh, never, ever heard of Ernie DiGregorio in my life.
Never. And this the guy that we do know, he... is pretty well known as a player on the Sonics and a well-known coach, and is still an assistant coach at this today.
Lionel Hollins.
No.
I think, who am I thinking of? I can picture it.
He's an assistant coach for a Western Conference team in California.
God, I can't think of his name.
Okay, he's an assistant coach on the Lakers.
Yes.
Nate McMillan.
Yes. That's who I was thinking of. Yeah. I think Lionel Hollins actually didn't play for the Sonics. I think he played for...
Yeah, where was he?
Trailblazers. But I always get them...
Oh, that's right.
I get those two confused as, like, players all the time.
But pretty cool, man.
Thanks, bro. You stumped me for real.
Most assists by a rookie is pretty crazy
stuff. Ernie McElhaney?
What's that? Ernie DiGregorio.
Shout out Ernie,
shout
dude.
Shout you out, bro. But that's all I got, brother.
You stumped me hard, man.
Yeah.
I feel stumped. Feel like a little stump.
But you know what? After all these ones that we've had through the episodes, we're learning.
I'm learning history. So much. Yes. I'm smart.
Thank you for listening, guys. We have a lot of content coming out for you on YouTube and our social medias. Stay tuned for those. We are making videos for all our recent pickups,
pickups.
So stay tuned for that as well. And we'll also have some more content for you. But thank you guys for watching. And we will catch you next time on the Flippity Floppity. Big E.D. Ernie DiGregorio.
Don't be shouting out Big E.D.
Big
I don't want to hear about Big E.D., dude.
Big Ed.